There's very different applications out there. Then we're going to talk about some mine disasters, and we're going to talk about why barrier pillars are important. We're going to talk about two in particular, but there have been several. And then finally, we're going to look at future challenges and things that we're going to have to be aware of moving forward. So first, let's talk about what is a barrier pillar. So a barrier pillar is simply just a block of coal left unmined to protect or isolate adjacent mined areas. But essentially, they're just a means of protecting the miner. They can help compartmentalize and isolate working areas, but from water, stress, air blasts in the event of a massive collapse. And they're even used to protect against gas wells, which my colleague Greg Rumbaugh will discuss next. But with all barrier pillars, it's a balancing act of leaving enough support or leaving enough for adequate support while maintaining high productivity and drivage rates. So barrier pillars were originally utilized as hydraulic barriers, but in the early days of mining, that was more of a focus. Now, as we've gone deeper, we no longer really need to worry so much about water inundation. It's not as big of a threat, but we have to worry about more support for deeper cover. So here's an example of a barrier for active works flooding. Here's one for a pillar section, and we're gonna leave barriers in between to protect each subsequent pillaring section. And then of course we have long walls and barriers left in place, in this case to protect a bleeder entry from gob load. So how do we evaluate a barrier pillar? We've got tons of different ways. Dunn's rule, Old English barrier pillar law, ash and eat impoundment formula, Pennsylvania mine inspector's formula, British coal rule of thumb, pressure arch method. There's been tons of different methods over the years, and as we've advanced, we've sort of built on each one. But the one common thing that they all have in common is they all use depth and mining height as a variable. The other things we need to consider are the roof geology and then also the mining geometry. So pressure arch is a big one. We talk about with an active section, we have the load directly above it. But in a pressure arch model, we actually take some of that load and transfer it to the barrier pillars on the side. And so that helps actually reduce the load that's on the active panel. And this is a very important theory and actually what a lot of this is designed around. So today we talk about evaluating barrier pillars, and typically we use ACPS, the Analysis of Coal Pillar Stability Software. That's what we at the Roof Control Division use. We also use LaModel. Now, we prefer ACPS because it's straightforward and fast, but LaModel is also exceptional. It just takes a lot more time to set up and a lot more work goes into it. This is ACPS. This is our standard ACPS screen. We enter our parameters. In this case, we're setting up a laser pointer. Okay. So in this case, we're just setting up chain pillars for a long wall. It's very straightforward, and we just enter just a handful of parameters, and we get the results we're looking for. And then in this case, we move on to the retreat mining tab, and we set up what our retreat mining layout looks like. It's very straightforward. So there's all kinds of different longwall layouts, though. We'll talk first about longwall chain pillars. This was probably the first layout commonly used. It's still used today in Central App and the Illinois Basin. So typically you have three or four entries with equal sized pillars. Previously you used as many as five or even six, but as time has advanced, we've gotten better at reducing the number of entries we need. But this is commonly used for weaker geology, shale dominated roof, and depths less than 1,000 feet. You wouldn't want to apply this at greater cover. It doesn't work quite as well. Then we move on to longwall yield abutment. Now, anybody who's from this area is probably familiar with this layout. You have an abutment pillar, which takes the bulk of the load, and then you have a yield pillar. And they work in tandem. The yield pillar yields, but it doesn't yield enough. It's designed to be small enough that it doesn't hold enough energy to burst, and that's an important characteristic. Now, this layout is commonly used for this area in depths of 1,000 feet or less, although we have used it probably as deep as 1,300 feet around here. And you would use it for a weaker shale roof, and so we characterize roof using coal mine roof rating, which is CMRR for short. And in this case, we were talking about a CMRR rating around 40. So if we go out west, find longwall yield pillars. Typically, it's a two-entry system, just with a single pillar in the middle. These pillars are pretty small, and again, they're designed so that they will not contain enough energy to burst, because you have massive sandstone roof and you have strong floor, which is the perfect storm for creating a burst-prone condition. And so, in a system like this, you would actually need a petition for modification from MSHA, because it's less than three entries. And we're talking about a coal mine roof rating of 50 or up, probably closer to 60, honestly, in most cases. It's a very strong roof, strong floor. And I had the unique pleasure of working in this area for a few years, and it's very different. I'm actually from this area originally, from Pennsylvania originally, but working out in Utah was everything I knew I had to throw out. It was completely different than what I had learned up to that point. So the important thing to know for this is there is no ACPS criteria for yield pillars, because they're site specific. And so that's the reason we have to have a petition for modification. Each individual mine has to look at what they've got, and they have to classify it and then reach out to MSHA, and we have to go through the process and look at it on a case-by-case basis. Then we have yield abutment yield pillars. And so this is common in gassy mines in southern Appalachia. You would see this especially in like Alabama. Four entries are not ideal for drivage, but they're essential for ventilation. These are gassy mines that need a lot of air. And so when they drive these, you have a lot of cover and you have stronger roof, so you need the yield pillars to help mitigate burst risk, but you also have these smaller pillars. And what's interesting is you actually mine the barrier, yield pillar as you mine through. And that's the only place in the country I've ever seen that done, which is very interesting. And then we have inter-panel barriers. This is probably common in the Virginia area, in southern Appalachia, and sometimes out west. And the idea is if you have seismic activity or bursts that you cannot control, this is what you would want to deploy. It controls tailgate bursting, but not headgate bursting, typically. And this is for very strong roof, strong floor. But the downside of this is that you're driving double entry length, and so you're sterilizing that barrier pillar in the middle, so you're leaving a lot of coal behind. You would never do this unless you absolutely had to do this. So then, once you get out of longwall mining, we have retreat mining, which we have common in central and southern App. Now, we use these barriers to compartmentalize the pillared sections, and the barriers themselves are occasionally mined, so they're called that slabbing. This is really where, in all these cases, the pressure arch system comes into play, but you can see it really the most in this area, because in a lot of cases, these whole areas are, if remnant pillars are left, meaning just little tiny remainders of pillars, they don't have enough capacity to carry the load, and so it actually spans across, and that's where pressure arch comes into play. Now, on an especially wide section, you would actually not maybe even be able to span the entire pressure, the entire width of it, and so you have to control the width of your section. If it goes too wide, it won't span from barrier to barrier on either side. The other thing that has to be considered is when a barrier is evaluated, it has to be evaluated in its final form, meaning if it's going to be slabbed, you have to take that geometry into consideration. You can't look at it beforehand, because obviously that's not what's going to be carrying the load. Then we also have leave pillars when we're talking about retreat mining. Leave pillars are just simply that, the pillars that are left in place. Typically, they're done so for either ventilation or escapeway purposes. But together, each individual pillar can be looked at as a composite to protect the section, and actually each individual pillar added up can create a barrier in and of itself. So what happens when barriers fail, or we don't take care of our barriers? Well, in this case, we have the Knox Mine disaster in 1959. This was in the northern anthracite region of Pennsylvania, and mining got a little too close to the Susquehanna River. It was about 6 feet or so away, and they were supposed to keep about 30 feet away, and they ended up mining into the river. And when they did so, about an estimated 10 billion gallons of water came into the mine. 12 men never made it out. Bodies were never found. 33 had to be rescued. And it really, this event maybe was, it's a lot of people sort of point to it as the end of major mining in the anthracite region of Pennsylvania. That still happens, but it's very small operations now, and it's not like it was at this point in time. Now what they had to do, you can see in this picture, that's actually the whirlpool, the water draining into the mine. They had to throw mine cars. They put 50 coal hopper cars and an estimated like 400 mine carts into the hole to try and plug it up and stop it from continuing to flood into the mine. And essentially they lost the mine. Barrier pillars are there for a reason. This was hydraulic, but let's talk about barrier pillars for support. This year August will be the 16th anniversary of the Crandall Canyon mine disaster. So on August 6th, 2007, while retreat mining in what would be the south barrier area of the mine, there was a massive burst, and it claimed the lives of 6 men. And then 10 days later, on a rescue effort, 3 more men were lost to a localized burst. So this is the original area, the mains west of Crandall Canyon. You can see the north barrier and south barrier were left in place. That was to protect from the load from the longwall 12 and longwall 13, 12 to the north, 13 to the south. And originally they were planning to mine to the west to access some more coal. That ended up not happening, and the mine was pretty much on its last legs as far as reserve. And they decided to go in and start mining the north barrier and then the south barrier. And so that looked like this. And you can see on the top is the north barrier. They mined that first. You can see the hatched area is where they started to retreat back out. They were retreat mining. And you can see the break in the retreat mining. And that actually is because they started to have bumps. They were having roof control issues, pillar issues. Ribs were falling and spalling. And they had bursts. And so they actually abandoned that northern barrier and decided that they wasn't safe. And so they would decide to move to the south, drive that, and then start retreating that as well. So they got, you can see that red dot is actually where sort of what the working area where the 6 men were initially lost on August 6th. And they were retreating out through. And you know, binding this barrier, and in this little area, you can see the X's are actually leave pillars. The rest of it was all to be taken, and it all collapsed. And this was 20 crosscuts out by. This is what the entry looked like. 19 crosscuts out by, but completely filled with material, completely inaccessible. So the rescue effort was started. And obviously we know how that ends, unfortunately. But we wanted to look at if we could use ACPS today, and of course everybody loves the benefit of hindsight, but if we could use ACPS today and see if we could evaluate this area to see what it would look like, would we be able to tell that this was a bad idea? And so we'll use ACPS. What they had at the time was ACPS's predecessor, ARMS. But we will load in the geometry here, and it'll be, I'm not going to go through the step-by-step because I don't want to bore you to death, but essentially we'll take all the different measurements and we'll create a composite area here and look at it in ACPS. And we'll define the section geometry, which you can see there on the map, the different measurements. And then we will also look, we know we have longwall gob to the south, so we'll consider that. And then we also have longwall gob to the north. So when we put everything into ACPS and we select the mining orientation, we end up with this warning sign that'll pop up that basically says that one active section and two side gobs are not recommended for this deep of cover, because historically there's less than 50% success rate. Now obviously, again, we did not have the benefit of this software at that time. But moving forward, this is our output that we get. And typically we're looking for at least a 1.5. And these are our numbers, 0.45 and 0.35. So just looking at this and the software that we have today, that raises very big red flags. And this was a quick and dirty run. Obviously, you would look at it a lot more closely and evaluate it more thoroughly. But just in 15 minutes, you could run this and tell that something would probably not work. And this is the end result. That yellow area is the extent of the damage. So not only did it wipe out the section that was being mined, borehole drilling in the area showed that it actually, the extent of it was massive. And obviously, in addition to the massive failure, nine lives were lost. So looking forward, what future challenges do we have for pillar design? You know, the big thing is, in this country, the easy mining is done. You know, the easy coal has been had. And so we're going to have increasingly deep cover. We're going to have more multiple seam interactions, more challenging geologic conditions, because people left that stuff and didn't want to deal with the headache, and it's still there. And somebody's going to want to get it at some point. We're going to have variability in pillar composition, lots of riders, binders, things that, again, were left. And then, obviously, gas wells. Greg's going to talk about this a lot more, but, you know, gas is being drilled like crazy and has been for the last 15 years. And so those all have to be dealt with. And so one of the things we can do is we can look to see how this has been dealt with in other countries, especially deep cover. That's something that in this country we typically don't go past about 3,000 feet, really less than that in most cases, but they're doing that in other countries. And we can look and see how they have dealt with that. So that's sort of outside the purview of this talk, but things to look forward to. So the one thing to learn, the one thing to take away, is that properly designed barrier pillars are essential for safe mining. And as I already talked about, we saw what happens when it doesn't work well. When barrier pillars fail, people lose their lives. Now we have ACPS, and it's a straightforward and fast method for evaluating barrier pillars. And there are tricks to it. And we would be happy to, as the Roof Control Division, happy to help anybody who's interested in learning more about it. We offer training, we offer help, we offer guidance. And again, roof control is not enforcement. And so people sometimes confuse that. We're not enforcement. The other thing that we can talk about is, it's called Analysis of Roof Support Systems, AMRS. And it's another system, it's another software package that's incredibly useful. And it's also available free. Both of these are available at mineground control.com. And anybody that wants to look at it, get into it, has any questions, please reach out to us. You can get us at pillarinitiative@dol.gov. All right. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions, anybody? Can we all agree that robbing a barrier pillar is a dumb idea?
It's still done.
Anybody?
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.